Thanks, Kane. 807 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Friday. Phone number, text line 343-0106. It's a segment of the show brought to you by CSpire. What if you only needed one company to take on all your technology challenges? One company to handle security, cloud, internet, and more. Introducing the new CSpire Business, industry's first full-stack managed solution provider. With over 500 service professionals, over 8,700 miles of fiber, and the ninth-ranked cloud system in the entire world, with everything in a single managed IT portfolio, the result is a faster, more secure way to do business. From desktop to data center, CSpire Business will meet you wherever you are and take on your biggest business technology challenges. Learn more at cspire.com/business. CSpire. Customer inspired. All right. Coming up this hour, also your chance to win tickets to Jim Gaffigan, the Quality Time Tour. That show coming to the Wharf Amphitheater May 11th. They're doing it down at the Wharf. I had with Buffett the other night. We got Brian Adams and Gaffigan and many others.
Yeah. It's a great time. What they call it, the summer series. They still call it that.
I don't know, but if I was going to risk a guess, like if this was a daily double, you know, and I was going to risk it, I'd say
yes.
I'd say, what is yes.
And you'd risk it all, right?
Yeah, I would, because that sounds like it's logical. Like if you said it, they called it the wintertime special, I'd say probably not. But
no, that wouldn't make sense.
I would guess that probably would fit in.
You got a lot going on at the Wharf.
Hey, in sports, I want to play a little clip here. You're talking about the passing of Havlicek.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you had that in sports. And a name that's famous in the history of the NBA. And you went through some of the things that made him famous. But one of the things that I think has the Havlicek name so kitchen table for a lot of people was actually what he was doing on the court, but this call, the play-by-play call that went on over Havlicek stealing the ball. And I am not the consummate sports guy, nowhere near where you are, and definitely not in the world of hoops. But this is like part of the Americana. Mm-hmm. It's part of our fabric here. 1965 Eastern Finals, right? You've got Havlicek sealing the win for the Celtics in Game 7 of the 65 Eastern Conference Finals against Wilt Chamberlain and the 76ers.
Wow.
I mean, you would talk about some 60s hoops, man.
Havlicek
Celtics
and
Sixers.
Chamberlain.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And so it went down this way here, right at the end of the game, and it sounded, there's something, I got something else coming through. Get rid of that. And then we'll go to the Havlicek cut. Here we go.
5 seconds left. Boston only has a 1-point lead.
Greer's putting the ball on a play. He gets it out deep, and Havlicek steals it.
But Havlicek stole the ball. He stole the ball. It's all over.
That was Johnny Most, the announcer there. The NBA said that was the most famous radio call in basketball history.
To at least somewhat knowledgeable, it has to be, because I am not, I'm not an NBA guy. It's one of those like pieces of Americana that come from, you know, different corners, and that was one of them.
And the Celtics were just so dominant during that time. I mean, they won 3 championships in a row, 63 to 66 with Havlicek on all those teams. He won 8 NBA championships with them, so I think that puts him 3rd overall in NBA history with most NBA championships, and he leads the Celtics all-time leader in points and games played, so passing away at 79, Havlicek, certainly a big name in basketball history.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Also, I want to get through a couple. I want to get to the dichotomy of President Trump in just a second. All right.
Okay.
I want to get to that, but a couple other things I just want to note. Number one, mullet toss today, tomorrow. Also, Dolphin Island race tomorrow. If we're missing anything on your list of things for the weekend, you can always text us or call us at 343-0106. If you want to call and say, hey, I'm cooking burgers Saturday afternoon, that's good, but I'm thinking of more of a for-everybody event. You can always text us and we'll pass them along. Also, I finally did see Game of Thrones last night, so
good.
Now people can speak around me. But this, I saw the note, and then you mentioned this, that the episode coming up Sunday night, this is supposed to be like, this is like watching, this will be for the old people who understand this, it's like watching Shogun all at one time, the old miniseries Shogun. It went on for like 3 years. Mm-hmm. How long is it supposed to be?
82 minutes. That's how long this
longest
next,
episode ever.
That's right. And this, I think, if you watch the last episode, it should set up for the Battle of Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, kind of been following this filming of Game of Thrones since it led into the series. They said it took the Battle of Winterfell, this filming took 55 nights of filming to put this battle together. I don't know if it'll be the entire episode. I think it might be an entire episode of one battle between the undead and the Game of Thrones characters that we've all come to know and love over the last 8 seasons. But 82 minutes, which is basically a movie.
Yeah.
And I think the whole thing is going to be a battle that took 55 nights to film.
Well, that could be pretty cool. I wonder what it was like filming that. I mean, obviously, with your family and your father and having some experience in the film business, you'll get what I'm saying. Mine's very limited. I got a buddy who put me in a couple of straight to VHS movies. Mm-hmm. not that kind. Wish. No, some movies filmed here locally. So all I know is when there's just seeing it done over a day or two, the genius of production staff to be able to shoot out a sequence and keep everything in their minds, mm-hmm. and reshoot things. And that was like 2 days. This is 55 nights. So if they didn't shoot it in sequence, which I don't know if they did or not, but reshooting scenes and doing it's, while we'll watch it and it'll seem epic and cool and all that stuff, it must have been just a dang grind.
Yeah, seriously. Probably lots of storyboarding going
right.
on around there.
And then
there.
Coming back and reshooting something and figuring out, make sure you don't change anything that you had in costuming, mm-hmm. here to the next. I mean, you got to keep the costume, everything from the person who is, you know, everybody's got like either they're shaven or have a stubble or have a beard. Everything has to stay the same for 55 nights.
And then you got to deal with the CGI. I mean, if you've ever seen YouTube videos where they show you what the actual actors are working with on, mm-hmm. on the set before they add in the CGI, and they're just working with like little green blobs that are supposed to be dragons or whatever. So they shoot this for 55 nights, and then you get your technology team on it, and they work on the CGI for however long. It's actually a miracle that they got this season done in the year and a half or 2 years it took for them to film and put it all together.
So 82 minutes worth coming up on Sunday night.
Yeah, and should be, I would venture to say this will be the most watched episode of Game of Thrones ever.
So
right?
I'll make sure to put my children outside or something so I can watch it and talk about it.
And then that ties into the last Avengers Endgame coming out. I guess it came out last night.
I've not even seen the Avengers Beginning Game.
Well, there's been 25 in the Marvel films universe if you watch all of them.
I've seen one of them.
Yeah, well, if you start with the first one, you can maybe get there by the next 10 years. But this will be maybe one of the biggest movies to ever, most money ever made over a weekend. I think that's what they're saying, this Avengers Endgame.
So our buddy Philip here, he said he went last night and it was good. I heard packed houses everywhere.
Mm-hmm, yeah, they said before it came out last night, I guess it's been out internationally, it's already made over $180 million globally. They said this weekend,
before it officially came out.
Before okay. it came out.
Just a little advance money.
They said by Sunday night, could bring in more than $800 million, $260 million in the U.S. alone.
Holy cow.
And there's
Avengers Endgame.
Spoiler alerts everywhere, because no one wants that movie spoiled before they can get out there.
So there's some big plot twist or something? Like I'm the perfect person to talk about this in front of, because I have no concept of any of this.
And I am too, because I'll forget the spoilers before I even get in to watch it. But I guess kind of like Game of Thrones, half the characters are expected to die or maybe come back to life. I'm not sure. Lots of people dying in these movies.
Constantly sounds like Tombstone. Now, you want to talk about that movie, we could do that. All right, we'll take a quick call here before we run to the news break. And Aaron is checking in. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, guys. I saw a little break there. You said add something to your list.
Yeah.
The American Legion is hosting the Alabama Legion Southern Romp at the Post 250 at Fowl River Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend. Starting today, it is in support of the American Legion Legacy Fund, which takes care of the children of our American veterans.
Oh, wow.
Provides scholarships and so forth, things of that nature, and takes care of all their needs. So if you would, if you can, you don't have anything going on this weekend, please come down to Post 250 Fowl River, the American Legion, and help support the Legacy Fund for our American Legionnaires and our veterans.
Man, that's great. So what time does it start?
It starts this afternoon. Today goes through today, tonight, tomorrow evening, and in just a small time Sunday morning. There is food available on site. different things going on, different activities and all. If you've ever wondered what goes on at an American Legion post, you think, well, they just sit there in the dark and talk old war stories and drink beer. Couldn't be the furthest thing from the truth. Come on down here and get a bird's eye view of what actually happens with your American Legion here in your own city and county of Mobile. Post 250, American Legion at Fowl River. Come on down and have a good weekend with us.
That's fantastic, Aaron. Thanks for giving us a heads up on that. Number one, obviously a great reason to come out and support. And if y'all have never been down to that post there, it is fantastic. I've been in there. We had fishing tournaments around there and would go there. And I pass it coming and going from Dolphin Island all the time. It's pretty, they got their own digital billboard out front. It's a good looking operation. All right, 8:17, coming right back. More of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. All right, 8:22, FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings on a Friday. Thank you, Jim. Jim in Georgetown said, don't forget about the Heavenly Hog Cook-Off at the Loblolly Farm in Sims. It's the event to start annual gig. Okay, so that's a Heavenly Hog Cook-Off. You, Dalton, and unnamed texters here talking about the Kenny Chesney concert coming up.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney. I think he's at the Floribama tomorrow.
In amongst the mullet,
which, that's right, with the mullet toss.
You got mullet toss and Chesney.
And Kenny Chesney. I need to check. I think that he is doing a show with all of his friends live from the Floribama tomorrow, which would be big, a big deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that, if you look at some great musicians and songwriters that just kind of hide in public down in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and all that, and they just kind of show up to do shows. You know, I know they have the Frank Brown Songwriters Festival and all that goes on, but I'm saying I've been at Floribama, and people show up and they'll be playing a song that's been a hit rock song or country song. I'm like, and I look at somebody like, hey, they're covering so and so. They said, no, that dude wrote the song.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. They get so many good artists down there, and
I'm talking about people that kind of, I think they a lot of them live in here in South Alabama or nearby in Northwest Florida. They're kind of just kind of hiding in plain sight.
You know, I'm looking for I thought that Kenny Chesney was going to be there tomorrow, but I'm not seeing it on the Floribama events page. Maybe it's on like his tour website, but there is the Miss Mullet Toss Bikini Contest and the Mr. Mullet Hot Body Contest. Do you know anybody that's going to be in the Mr. Mullet Hot Body Contest?
Not this year, because I'm going to take a year off to let some other people have, you know, competitive chance here. I took a year off from the crawfish eating contest this year, and I'm taking it off from when am I, Mr. Hot Body?
Mr. Mullet Hot Body. I noticed that on AL.com, they don't put that, don't put those pictures up.
See, I knew you'd go, because I was going to go there too. So this tells me by Sunday on AL.com, it'll be the 106 photograph gallery of pictures of the Miss Mullet. Yes.
But zero of the Mr. Mullet Hot Body Contest.
Thank God. Thank God for small favors. All right, and speaking of stuff going on in South Baldwin, let's do this. Looking for caller number 6 right now. I've got a pair of tickets for the Jim Gaffigan Show coming to the Wharf Amphitheater Saturday, May 11th. Tickets on sale now, Ticketmaster.com, Wharf box office, or charge by phone, 800-745-3000, or better yet, be caller number 6 right now at 343-0106. 343-0106. Pick up those tickets to see Jim Gaffigan coming up next month. All right, I want to do a little compare and contrast here and see if this goes anywhere. It just kind of popped up in my brain. There's two stories that are, well, there's always about 18 stories swirling around the president, but two of them that I'm just selecting, I'm cherry picking here to maybe do this. You mentioned on Twitter, there's a trend right now of chief.
Yeah, and chief is misspelled, which I hate when I see misspellings on Twitter's trending list, because I just assume that, you know, there's a lot of dumb people on Twitter tweeting
a lot of dumb people everywhere. So I mean, and listen, have I misspelled chief before? Yes.
Oh, me
have.
Too. That's one of them that I misspell all the time. But you know, on a sadder note, just a couple weeks ago when Notre Dame caught fire, one of the trending topics set Norte Dame, N-O-R-T-E, Dame.
So North Lady versus Our Lady.
Okay. Right. So people misspell things all the time, and sometimes everyone misspells it and it becomes a trending topic. So when I saw Chief was misspelled and trending number one on Twitter this morning, I assumed that everyone was misspelling Chief. Turns out that it's our own president who tweeted this morning.
She's not the first time. President Trump's... The grammar and spelling in a Trump tweet is not always, you know...
Which, you know, no one's editing the tweet, which is, I guess is good news if you want your tweets straight from the president.
Or they have a whole crew of people editing them, but they're dropping in those Easter eggs to make it seem like they're not being edited.
That's exactly it. So he tweeted, President Donald J. Trump is the greatest hostage negotiator that I know of in the history of the United States. 20 hostages, many in impossible circumstances, have been released in the last 2 years, and no money was paid. And he quotes that with Chief, misspelled, C-H-E-I-F, Chief Hostage Negotiator, comma, USA. No name. He has the quote, and then he says, Chief Hostage Negotiator. So okay. That's why misspelled Chief has been trending on Twitter this
morning. So there is there's the daily attack on spelling. Listen, President Trump hands ammunition out like he's on the front lines, you know, at the munitions depot to his opponents. He does it every day. Some people think it's all this three-dimensional chess and he means to. I think sometimes he just does it and doesn't think about it. So I hear that story out and digging on President Trump for the spelling, which, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not an acolyte. I'll still have fun with those things. Now, I want to compare and contrast that with something else.
Okay,
so the dichotomy of President Trump is this. He's tweeting embarrassingly so sometimes, in my opinion. At the same time, here's Axios.
Okay.
Axios, story breaking in the last 11 minutes. Axios, not exactly a mouthpiece for President Trump, but they had to sit down and give us some real data. Headline here, U.S. economy grows 3.2% in the first quarter, smashing expectations.
Wow. That's big news.
Big news. U.S. economy grew at 3.2% annualized rate in the first quarter of the year, a faster pace than the previous quarter's 2.2%, and significantly more than the 2.1% that economists were expecting. And what do I hear that kid from The Simpsons? The Commerce Department said today, this is thanks to strong exports and consumer spending. Concerns about a U.S. economic slowdown have now subsided, I would say, given the bounce back in recent economic indicators. This blowout GDP report, I mean, this is Axios.
Yeah, this isn't exactly, townhall.com or whatever.
Is it Hot Air or PJ Media or something like that, or some blog that tells you what you want to hear? No, this is Axios. It says this blowout GDP report, subject to revision, shows that the economic cycle might have more room to run, putting the Federal Reserve, which has backed off on raising rates, in a tough spot. Once again, what a win for President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
he's been fighting this with the Fed. He's been, he's been talking about the economy, even though he gets into every other quagmire out there heading into 2020. And I know he's the one that got elected, and he did it his own way. But he does talk economy. I would talk, if I'm President Trump, this would be, I wouldn't have planks to a platform. I'd have a 4x8 sheet of plywood, and it'd be, hey, U.S. economy grew at a 3.2% annualized rate, and it's blown through expectations from economists. And he takes this economy that so many people thought was on a sugar high, and it continues.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. He needs to be all economy all the time, and not only a win for him, but a win for the people who voted for him and have stood by their decision to vote for him, because since he's been elected, all everyone has been told is that, you know, he's not fit to be president, blah, 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 blah. But the people that voted for him wanted a few things. They wanted a strong economy. They wanted conservatives back on the Supreme Court. And they want more conservatives' viewpoints put back into the government of the United States. And they're getting all of that right now.
Delivered on those. Not delivered on every part of it. But those three biggies, I would say, those planks of his 2016 platform have been delivered on. And to hearken back to a very smart Democrat strategist, James Carville, it's the economy, stupid. Which I like Carville, but it's my Carville voice. It's the economy, stupid. And it's pretty stupid good right now. Be right back. All right,
836 FM Talk 106.5, and congratulations.
Congratulations to Brett from Daphne, picking up tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan at the Wharf Amphitheater. That'll be May the 11th. So should be a great concert with Jim Gaffigan. And I looked into it. Kenny Chesney not playing at Floorbam. I'm sure he'll make a visit, but he's at the Wharf tomorrow. So you were right. All kinds of great things going on at the Wharf.
And stacked up.
Congrats to Brett, Daphne, going to see Gaffigan next month.
All right. And thank you, Paul. I've said Sean Sullivan, the impressionist, for my James Carville.
It's Economy, stupid.
I thought Carville was in the room for a second. That's how good that was.
I just the dichotomy of President Trump, and this I may not even have picked the best example of it. It's just this morning's example of it. That on Twitter he goes. I mean, Lord knows he has help. He's the president. Mm-hmm. I know he does things himself. I go through all the pablum with me. I get it. Have somebody spell check the tweets. You're the commander in chief. You're the president of the United States. Stay what you want. Still do your own style. Just get a high-tech program on there to check the spelling. Just don't give. The president does this with the things he says in tweets and misspelling and all this. It is distraction city. And I know I'm waiting for the text or call. Sean, you don't understand. He does this as part of a, you know, I don't buy into the whole three-dimensional chess thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what he does is puts the country on economic footing. And don't tell me this is still the hangover of President Obama. That this is because of Obama. I know a lot of times that in the first two years, it is a little bit fair to say people either inherit what the president before them did in a good way or bad way.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're moving on beyond that, and the economy continues to expand. Now, do I like some of the we're building this house on? I think we're building it on sand, but I've been saying that for presidents from both parties for decades, and I realize now in my later 40s that nobody else thinks, well, there's about seven of us that think like that, that worry about, you know, paying off the debt and all that kind of stuff, and I realize I'm in the minority, so I'll sit down and just say rah, 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 and you can say rah, rah, rah. I mean, U.S. economy, this is Axios calling it a blowout GDP report. You just heard Westwood One News lead with it. These numbers are huge. This is great for our nation.
Mm-hmm. And he still, you know, I'll refresh right now, but the president still hasn't tweeted about this new economy news.
Just wait.
Yeah, he will for sure. And maybe he's in the air right now heading to that NRA conference he's speaking at. But as far as someone editing his tweets, I mean, if you read some of the books that have, I mean, there have been, how many books have been written about the Trump administration already, and we're only 3 years in, but specifically Cliff Sims' book.
Who still has not come on the show, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Sims, if he goes back and listens to the podcast, he's, I'm not going to treat him, you know, and some people were saying that, some people out of Washington had sent me excerpts of the book and said, is he talking about you?
Yes, that's
Cliff,
what I thought.
And Cliff says he's not talking about me, he's talking about somebody else, but now there's other people that in national media have called me and said, I think he is talking about you. A part of Cliff Sims' book, he mentions he was jealous of somebody getting an interview with then-candidate Trump before he did. And he says it's another person in the state. That's fine. It's really not. But my problem is, does he have a problem with me? And that's why he's not coming on the show. If y'all remember, if you've been listening to FM Talk 106.5 for some period of time, which, by the way, station turns 10 coming up next
10
week.
Year, whole 10, decade.
Yeah, we're this many. I'd be holding up five fingers. We're
10 fingers.
Yeah, we're 10. No, just five, and then I'm doing it again.
Oh, okay.
So we're our 10th anniversary coming up next week. But if you've listened for a period of time, Cliff used to be on the show with me all the time, right? He was there at Yellowhammer News and talked. I think we got along pretty darn well, you know. We had and we'd meet up in social situations and all that. I mean, we weren't like my best buddy or anything, but we were real friendly and talked through the week, even when we weren't on the air. And then he told me way back he was coming on, going to do the book interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hear this, there's this passage in it and this and that. And next thing you know, it doesn't come on the show.
Yeah, I pre-ordered that book and then let it sit on my dresser for, I don't know, 3 months. And then I finally cracked it open and saw, I swear, when I read it, I thought that he was talking about us in the interview with Trump. You in the interview with Trump.
All of us.
I got him on the air with the phone screening.
That's
right.
But
that was about it. But in that book, he talks, I mean, we all know it. Trump doesn't want to be led around. He is the man wherever Trump is. He's doing what he wants to do. And I think there's something kind of cool about the president having a mouthpiece, this mouthpiece being Twitter right here, and it, just
you think
whatever.
It's cool that he's misspelling?
No, I don't think that part's cool, but I think that it shows that there's no in between. There's no middleman there. It's Trump directly to the American people. And who among us has not misspelled the word chief?
No, I said in the beginning, I've misspelled the word too. It's just, that's what I'm saying. That's why I present this as a dichotomy. The real story is the economic growth. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a real story. The side story that he gives them the ammunition for is, and it's not even the specific misspelling. It's just emblematic of some of the things he does on Twitter that I think people say it's the genius of it. And there is, at the same time, if he scaled it back, I don't know, maybe it kills the golden goose. But I think it's a good example this morning. What the opponents of Trump are all worried about is a misspelling. Mm-hmm. And I'm at least being honest and say, I don't think it's, you know, I'm not in love with every tweet he sends. But the real story is what this economy is doing.
Right.
You know, and so it's just a dichotomy. So it depends on what news. Everybody should look at the news and pick out what is true on a given day. Of course, we're not living in those times. People pick out what reinforces a belief.
Yep.
And, you know, good and well, if he was making decisions that were failing the economy, I would point out if there's a story out today, and I would say, even Fox News says this is a bad economy. I would point that out. But in this case, what is true is the economic numbers are out. And even Axios is calling it blowout GDP numbers.
Yeah, I think that is just major, major news. I think his haters, the people that don't like Trump, they were going to find something to nitpick anyway. He just served this one up to him on a platter.
Yeah, very good. Here's a man who'll show me I'm wrong. Our buddy Derek in Fairhope. Hey, man.
What's going on? All right. So, you know, you get these blowout GDP numbers. And if you go back to, you know, Trump's presidential run, and he was talking about how Obama was cooking the books on the GDP, and so I'm kind of scared that's doing the same thing. And the reason I say that is that, you know, when you hear the Fed talking about inflation, we're not seeing inflation where we want to be at. Well, they decided to change the way they gauged inflation by taking away energy, and that's one of the largest things we see inflation on. And so that way they could show that there is no inflation because they're not factoring in the one thing that creates the most inflation for the average American.
Yeah, but those numbers, but wouldn't those numbers be, and I hear what you're saying, but wouldn't those numbers be to the benefit? The inflation rate on until recently has been pretty good on energy, right? And gas prices, it's just been, what, the last quarter or is it the last two quarters that has come out?
Probably the last two quarters. Now, I think that we're kind of like here in the South, we're in this weird little, you know, pockets where, you know, we don't really see the gas, you know, inflation, you know, besides what Montgomery is doing. But, you know, that is the largest, you know, piece of inflation is energy. And when they decided that they were going to recalculate how they gauge inflation, they took out that variable. And so what Trump pointed out during his presidential run was how Obama was not using the correct formula to gauge the GDP. And so what terrifies me now is that he's doing the same thing. With these GDP numbers, the math will come out here, you know, in the next week or so.
Yeah, they edit back. And, yeah, they have the edit. What is it, like a 10-day period where they can go back and edit?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing about it is you come out with these numbers, and, you know, they will always, you know, 6 months from now, they'll go back and, you know, do a readjustment. They always go back and do a readjustment. So that's the only scary thing is that they've changed the math on how they gauge this. And,
do you doubt that
seems to be doing great. The fundamentals are horrible. You know, the fundamentals of the economy.
You and I agree on that. We agree on that, but we also agree on the fact that we're in a very small minority of people that care about that.
We are, aren't we?
Yeah, the fundamentals are not good, but everybody makes fun of people like us for caring. So I would just say this, that even taking out, let's say that taking out inflation rate on energy, or there's some kind of cooking books, air quotes here, tweaking going on to these numbers, but for it to be such a substantial gain in GDP, there's got to be something, even if you pared it back because you think there's this, you know, this or that, it may not be honest there, it's still significant.
Oh, it's massive, you know. But once again, you know, Enron looked great until it didn't.
I would have lost a bet if I thought somebody would have gone Enron this morning. Excellent work.
Hey, you know what I'm saying? It's all about the numbers, baby.
It is, for sure, man. I always love talking to you, Derek. Thanks. Coming right back. Grab some more calls at 343-0106. And this is Mobile Mornings. FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill, Kane with our traffic. Hey, remember, you can check out this show and the 40-some-odd hours a week, and some hours more odd than others, of our live local programming. You can check out on our podcast page. Just go click the tab that says podcast on the front page of fmtalk1065.com. And also, you can subscribe at iTunes or Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio. Am I missing anything?
iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn. No, I think okay. You got them all.
All right. So go there and subscribe and get the downloads there for our podcast. And also, while you're on the website, remember, online opinion poll question. Love to hear from you on that. Of course, top three stories, but the online opinion poll question about the lotto. And by the way, the lotto bill did pass the Senate yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Big news.
Yeah, talk about that in a second. Let's go to Walter and Foley up next. Hey, Walter.
Isn't it nice to have a businessman running the country instead of a community organizer? let me ask a question. The moron who was on a while ago, what was he feeling when Obama had growth of 1%?
Well, what more? Wait. Who's a moron?
The guy you just figured.
Derek is. Derek is a smart. No, Derek is a smart guy. He realizes
really,
that numbers.
Sounds real smart to me. We got a businessman running the country.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. If you're not working and making money now, you must be stupid.
No, these things are good, but there have been people in the past that have had good economies too that weren't all businessmen. No, I think what I'm saying is I'm celebrating the fact, and so was Derek saying these numbers are good. But let's also realize that there may be, you know, and the nice thing is he wasn't saying this is on Trump. He's saying this may be on the whole racket altogether that we never get the real numbers. But as I was talking to Dalton during the break, as long as you compare quarter to quarter and there's growth, it's a win. It's a win for the...
The sky's falling. He sounds like somebody, you know, his glass is half empty. Let's celebrate whoever's president that can keep us going economically and being, you know, where the world is afraid of us now instead of back to where we were with that whatever we had in there before this.
Now, former President Obama? Yeah, I agree. I mean, the economy he did, I mean, Walter, if you're listening back then, I mean, every step, every time somebody was focused on some birth certificate or some, you know, some whatever with former President Obama, I said, what are y'all doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look at what we can prove. And we can prove that he was moving us towards a European socialist model. What he was doing was not pro-business. Those are the things you should focus on, and those are some of the things that I think are have turned around in a big time with President Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... So again, it's you have to have I think what Derek was talking about is a long-term question, and I don't have answers to that, but a long-term skepticism of numbers. And listen, there have absolutely been examples, both parties, of numbers. You don't know how it happened. You can assume maybe a spurious correlation to assume that right before midterm elections or, you know, going into a second term of a president, economic numbers look good. Now, this is far enough out that, you know, I don't think there's a question here. This is, but you've seen this for Democrats and Republicans. There's some kind of rosy picture painted going in, and people often wonder how many strings are pulled to do that. You know, maybe they are. Although the idea of these grand conspiracies, I'm not saying like 2-3 people conspiracies. We've been shown that can happen. I'm talking about they're all involved in this and they're all going to, you know, people can't keep it. 3 people can't keep a secret.
Yeah, right.
If you're telling me there's hundreds of people in the federal government that are working on the same. Now, it may be a conspiracy of omission or their opinion and they don't like this person and they're all kind of doing the same things unknown to each other. I believe that could happen. But this idea that there are hundreds of people working together in a cabal and nobody's ratting anybody out, come on. People can't keep a secret.
Yeah, no. But I do think there should be a healthy skepticism because politicians...
It's healthy.
They've been working the media and working the numbers forever, basically. But I think the problem is in this day and age and the way that politics have people divided, that even a healthy level of skepticism, even if you respect the person that you're skeptic... I mean, even if you respect the person who you're questioning...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Derek respects President Trump. He was just wondering if these numbers are completely 100% on the true level.
Yeah.
And but now it's like Alabama versus Auburn. You say one cross thing about Nick Saban, you're going to get 50 Alabama fans calling you and blowing up your phone. So there's I just think the way people are divided now, mm-hmm. you can't be a healthy skeptic without catching some kind of blowback.
Yeah, okay. And so and here's, like, Hal says this on the text line. This is what I'm talking about. There's nuance to this, and I do believe in nuance, which is not real popular, I guess. Everything has to be one way or another. And Hal and I disagree a whole bunch, but Hal says our trade imbalance with China is at its highest ever that it's ever been. Personal debt's at record levels. You know, the imbalance, at least in this, Hal, I argue that maybe the tide is turning on that because of what's been done. And you know, I'm not crazy about the tariffs, but as a method to turn that around, I think President Trump might be onto one of the plans that could do that. Now, the personal debt at record levels, it keeps going. I'm with you, Al. And this is when I said, and Derek said, that this is the fundamentals aren't good. The fundamentals have not been good for a long time in this country. But guess what? Nobody cares. I mean, I've talked about this year in, year out, about where we are debt-wise. I talked about through two terms of President Obama. I'm talking about it now because the same thing's happening now with Trump. But I also realize, by and large, people don't care.
No, it's...
It's what's happening today. And I get it. Listen, and Walter and everybody else, I run a small business too. You know, you're listening to it. And we get it. But at the same time, I do worry about what happens in 20 or 30 years, what happens one day, you know, with not being able to pay off the debts. And I've talked to all the people smarter than me that said, they'll never call the debts in. There's nowhere else for them to park money. I just don't like being so far in debt for this nation. I'm sorry.
No,
I know it's not popular, not a fun thing to talk about. But
and the numbers are so high that they don't even make sense.
No. I can't picture it. If you stacked them, you stacked bills, and they would go from here to the moon and back to the, you know, I can't even picture it.
And that's part of the reason I think it doesn't really matter to anybody, because you can't picture how much, you know, if we were $150 in debt, we'd just pay it off. But when you're, $300 trillion, you think, why even bother?
That's a good point. We'll just get maybe one of those structured loan settlement things. Just get out of debt for half, 50 cents on the dollar, 25 cents on the dollar. Can we declare bankruptcy as a nation?
I don't know.
Get a debt restructuring?
I know a guy.
Good. We might need him.
He's the president.
Mike Gallagher. Yeah, Mike Gallagher is on the way next. See you all at noon today for Midday Mobile.